The story takes place shortly after Lord Chaitanya left Jagannath Puri on the pretext of going to visit, or going to try to find his brother. What was Lord Chaitanya's brother's name? Vishwarup. Vishwarup was Lord Chaitanya's elder brother. And when Lord Chaitanya was just a young boy, his elder brother, from hearing from Advaita Acharya, every day he would go to the home of Advaita Acharya, which was about 100 meters from his home, maybe a little more, 200 meters. And he would sit all morning. In fact, little Nimai would have to be sent by Mother Sachi to go get your brother. It's almost time for lunch. Anyway, from hearing from Advaita Acharya, Vishwarup's attraction for spiritual topics and for devotional service to Krishna grew stronger and stronger and stronger. And at a certain point, Mother Sachi and Jagannath Mishra, they were considering, our son is of age, he should be married, who would be a suitable wife for our son? When he heard these conversations going on, he was not at all interested. And so he left home without saying a word, accepted sannyas and continued as an itinerant sannyasi traveling. So Lord Chaitanya told the devotees in Jagannath Puri that he wanted their permission to go search out and find his brother somewhere in South India. So actually, he, being omniscient, he knew that Vishwarup had already passed from this world, but he didn't disclose that. So it was a pretext. I want to go find my brother. So who could say, no, you shouldn't go find your brother? So very reluctantly, they gave their consent. Of course, Lord Chaitanya is independent. He doesn't need anyone's consent. But for sake of Leela, and also for his transcendental sentiment, he placed himself subordinate to his loving devotees. He would not act independent from their will, although sometimes he did. But generally this was the mood that he exhibited. So it was very, very, very difficult for the devotees in Puri to even think of Lord Chaitanya being separated from them. But they didn't feel right to stand in the way of his desire. So in one of the parting remarks by Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was that Lord Chaitanya, in the course of his travels, he should meet with one of the king's assistants. King Prataparudra was the king of much bigger than Orissa. It's the whole area extended into now Bengal, into Andhra Pradesh, down into Tamil Nadu. In effect, Ramananda Roy was the governor, was the like the mayor of Madras, whatever the equivalent is, but like that. You have mayors here? Mayors? No, so like that. In charge of the city. So, because he's such an exalted Vaishnava, and I don't need to tell you the detail, you'll see as soon as you meet him what his qualities are. So Lord Chaitanya set off. And he was traveling with from village to village and place to place, and because he was a sannyasi, it was just a natural thing that wherever he would go, persons who would come to meet him would be very honored, as cultured people will do, spiritually cultured people will do, to invite Lord Chaitanya to have his meal at their home, because he had no other way to maintain himself. And knowing that, they would very graciously, I don't know if that happens these days, but I don't know how frequently sannyasis travel like mendicants either. But in any case, this is what Lord Chaitanya was doing. And so there's a description early in the chapter, or middle of the chapter, where he's begun his tour, and Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami explains that he's going to narrate one story that is a sample of what would happen practically in every village that Lord Chaitanya went. It's the metaphor of testing one grain of rice in a rice pot, so that you know the consistency of all the grains in the whole rice pot. But this one, in other words, this one story was repeated over and over again in the course of his travel. So one very qualified brahmana, whose name was Kurma, the story calls him Kurma Brahman, he met Lord Chaitanya, invited him to come to his home for a meal. Lord Chaitanya came, visited his home, and Kurma Brahman performed the ceremony of washing Lord Chaitanya's feet, which at least in this case Lord Chaitanya permitted. And then he drank the water that washed Lord Chaitanya's feet and had all of his family members do the same. So immediately, just like the songs that we've been singing, Charanagati, Chudha Bhakata Charanareno. So he received that mercy from Lord Chaitanya. More common these things are, you sprinkle the water on. But anyway, this is the narration. And then they arranged for a meal for Lord Chaitanya. Because he was a, Lord Chaitanya was a brahmana, just one of these rules, that by smarta rules, one should take one's meal only in the home of a brahmana, if one is a brahmana. Lord Chaitanya violated that rule where someone is a devotee. And this is the same thing that happened with Kali Krishnadas, who was a brahmana, but he would accept remnants from anyone if they were a devotee. So Lord Chaitanya accepted the meal. The family members then sat and took their meal, and then there was some exchange, conversation. The proper Vaishnava achar in the interactions between them, that was the first part. So then in the discussion, Kurma Brahman submitted to Lord Chaitanya that he wanted to go with him. He said, I'm finished with tolerating the waves of misery that come from materialistic household life. And Prabhupada's comment is, from the verse we find that Kurma was actually very successful, his family was very well-to-do, Brahmana, wealthy, pious, devotee, wonderful family, very devoted family. Nonetheless, he wasn't finding happiness in the material way of life. And he was very qualified, and he recognized that Lord Chaitanya was the Supreme Lord himself. So he begs for his mercy, please let me go with you, because it was just a stopover. He was passing through and keep going, and so Kurma's saying, let me go with you, let me leave behind this materialistic life. And so Prabhupada's comment is, this should be the thinking of anyone, not just those who are materially destitute or have some hardship because of some financial problem or a problem at home. Kurma wasn't leaving out of frustration. He wasn't thinking to leave because, you know, my wife doesn't treat me nicely, or my business is failing, so I can maintain myself this way, I'll just go with you, I'll certainly get my meals at least. Hare Krishna. But the idea here is, because of his spiritual strength, Kurma had detachment. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's reply. So the author of Chaitanya Charitamrita says that this dialogue repeated itself again and again. The Lord Chaitanya's reply was, don't speak like that again. Rather, it's better that you stay at home and become purified through the chanting of the holy name of the Lord. And then comes the very famous verse. Prabhupada quoted this verse again and again and again. Yari deka tare kaha Krishna upadesh amar agyai guru hanatare desh. Which is translated, instruct everyone to follow the orders of Lord Sri Krishna as they are given in Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam. No, there's in an authoritative way. In this way, become a spiritual master and try to liberate everyone in the land. Now, Lord Chaitanya was a sannyasi, and one might think, this is great. Here's a person who's involved in family life, and I'm a sannyasi, and I should promote, you know, what I'm into. Sannyas. Kurma, you want to become a sannyasi? Great, come along. So, no. Don't even speak like that again. But stay in your position. So, what does anyone know that verse that later on in this chapter there's the discussion with Ramananda Roy, and Lord Chaitanya was asking Ramananda Roy to disclose the goal of life. What is the goal of life and how to achieve it? So there's a verse that Ramananda Roy spoke, which Lord Chaitanya accepted as a statement very much like this one, that says that one should stay in one's position and hear topics about Krishna and perfect one's life in that way. I see two hands. I see three hands. Okay. This is an important verse that you should learn. Go ahead. Say it slowly and clearly so that they can hear it and can sink in. Huh? You're not sure of the first line?
It was only the first line.
Okay. Okay. What's the rest? Stane stetakshuti tatam tanaban manobhya. You know the whole thing? What's the other?
Jivan visanmukaritam bhavadi yavartam.
Okay. What's the essence of the instruction?
Whatever present situation one is in, in that particular situation one should fully dedicate himself to the service of the Lord according to his capability.
Yeah. Well, specifically, the Shruti Gatam Tanavan Manobhya. Shruti Gatam. So one can achieve the goal simply by regular oral reception. Just like, so here there's some students, there's some family members, some children, some teachers. If we, the principle is, just as we're doing. This is Lord Chaitanya's instruction to Kurma. It's the statement is from Lord Brahma's prayers, chapter 14 of the 10th canto, when he's praying to Lord Krishna after stealing the calves and the cowherd boys about achieving perfection. So Stane stita, that's easy, that's stay in your position. But while you're in that position, hear the topics of Krishna. Another item in this instruction is to abandon speculative knowledge. So, the emphasis given here by Lord Chaitanya to Kurma is having heard then to speak. And Prabhupada, I would like to read Prabhupada's purport. So the first instruction is stay at home, chant the holy name, then from the purification that comes from regular hearing, then speak about Krishna. And this way, become guru and save the land. And he's a householder. And often, not always, but often, the more coveted position for one to function as a spiritual master from is from a sannyas position. But Lord Chaitanya is being very clear, that's not his principle. One, not that one is prevented from that. Lord Chaitanya was a sannyasi, and the Goswamis were also renounced. Anyway, this is the sublime mission of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. Many people come and inquire whether they have to give up family life to join the society, but that is not our mission. One can remain comfortably in his residence. We simply request everyone to chant Maha Mantra, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare,
Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
If one is a little literate and can read Bhagavad Gita as it is and Srimad Bhagavatam, that is so much better. These works are now available in an English translation and are done very authoritatively to appear to all to appeal to all classes of men. Instead of living engrossed in material activities, people throughout the world should take advantage of this movement and chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra at home with their families. One should also refrain from sinful activities, illicit sex, meat eating, gambling, and intoxication. Out of these four items, illicit sex is very sinful. If every person must get married, every woman especially must get married. If the women outnumber the men, some men can accept more than one wife. Of course, in the West, Prabhupada forbid that because it's just I don't know what he said about India, but in any case, because it's against the law, so it's not to be done. Because that was one of the problems. Prabhupada pointed out, we encourage that men remain detached and women should get married. But here he's saying everyone should get married, but women specifically should get married. Anyway, in that way, there will be no prostitution in society. If men can marry more than one wife, illicit sex life will be stopped. One should also produce many nice preparations to offer to Krishna, grain, fruit, flowers, and milk. Why should one indulge in unnecessary meat eating and maintain horrible slaughterhouses? It goes on. The regular principles. The real purpose of human life is to attain the spiritual platform and return to Godhead. That is the summum bonum of spiritual realization. The Krishna consciousness movement is trying to elevate human society to the perfection of life by pursuing the method described by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in his advice to the Brahmana Korma. That is, one should stay at home, chant the Hare Krishna mantra, and preach the instructions of Krishna as they are given in Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. This is nice to connect with the preaching is the essence message that we were speaking while visiting here. To do so doesn't require the renounced order of life. Those that are in the renounced order of life, as Mahaprabhu was doing, he was itinerant, traveling from place to place, doing the same thing. And those that are not, stay in one place and do the same thing. Then Lord Chaitanya further advised, if you follow this instruction, your materialistic life at home will not obstruct your spiritual advancement. Indeed, if you follow these regulative principles, we will again meet here, or rather, you will never lose my company. So that's an interesting statement. We'll meet again, or you'll never lose my company. Prabhupada is explaining in the purport that those who give up their materialistic life may go to live in a sacred place, Vrindavan, Rishikesh, Haridwar, Navadvipa, some sacred place, and in that sacred place be absorbed in cultivating a mood of submission and surrender to the Supreme Lord and detachment from worldly matters. And that's advantageous. But the comment he made earlier, which I didn't read, but is abruptly taking that position is not recommended. And that seems to be, it's repeated a few times in the purport here. Prabhupada is saying if we stay even in crowded cities in Europe, he's mentioning specifically, or here in India, some very crowded, congested cities, if we stick to these principles, then the contaminations of materialistic life will not touch us. They may be all around us, but we're protected. But it's very important to appreciate, to recognize and appreciate this, the message that Lord Chaitanya is delivering. He didn't just say, stay at home, do your puja, have Mangal Arati, chant Hare Krishna, and be happy. He said you have to preach. And for the followers of Lord Chaitanya, that's protection. The instruction, and based upon the instruction, the activity, it's protection. that protects us from the material contamination of what's around us and the implication in the material affairs of materialistic life. Materialistic life means having to deal with, even if we're not particularly keenly attracted to enjoying the things of this world, still we have to encounter and deal with them. This Prabhupada discusses this in the next purport. So text 130, at whosoever house Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu accepted his alms by taking prasad, he would convert the dwellers to his Sankirtan movement and then advise them, just as he advised the Brahmana named Korva. The advice is not to change status, stane statak. So whatever Prabhupada is saying, whatever one's position, you may be an engineer, you may be a doctor, you may be whatever you may be professionally, you may be in this ashram, that ashram, that's fine. So the real criterion, again, chanting, following regular principles, hearing the scripture, and taking that message and giving it to others. Prabhupada gives some nice instructions for householders here. One has to learn humility and meekness at home. He used the phrase, a lamb at home and a lion in the chase. Balaram, you've heard that one before? Lamb at home, falling asleep. Lamb at home and lion in the chase. You've heard that? This is for the Matajis here. Once Jagadatri Mataji asked Prabhupada a question. She was very courageous, female devotee, female disciple of Prabhupada, and she was very dedicated to book distribution. But she had a doubt in her mind. She asked Prabhupada, in this service, we have to deal with so many materialistic people, and it seems contrary to the instructions we generally hear about women, and that is that women should be very submissive and take a certain role within society like that. And Prabhupada's explanation was that for preaching, you have to be a little aggressive. Aggressive doesn't mean you beat people up. Aggressive means you intrude, you interact with them in the course of their life in such a way that you, in a nice way, you induce them to hear about Krishna. Then he said to her this expression. So when, like the expression that lamb at home, lion in the chase, you may have to do like that when you're on Sankirtan. And when you're at the temple, these same principles of conduct that are standard for how a Mataji should behave in the company of the other Vaishnavas should be the way that you lead your life. So, while preaching, just to repeat it, while preaching means in a courteous way, in a ladylike and gentleman way, to extend ourselves to others, extend some kindness and hospitality and friendship. It is intruding into people's lives. That's okay. We do it in a proper manner. And when at home, to be very attentive, to keep things in a peaceful mood by meekness and humility. Nice instruction. Then he says two other things, that while this instruction is there by Lord Chaitanya, that by this principle you become guru, amara agyai guru hanatare desh, that he says, I'll read it, thinking in an artificial way how advanced a devotee I am, that thinking is harmful. So thinking in a humble way, it is best not to accept any disciples. Although the instruction is, become guru and save the land. Then he explains, the next sentence is, instead of this being very anxious to think of oneself as very, very elevated, one has to become purified at home by chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra and preaching the principles enunciated by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Thus, one can become a spiritual master and be freed from the contamination of material life. So, it's not specific. He's not saying that thus become a shiksha guru, because accepting disciples doesn't necessarily mean by the formal process of diksha. Accepting disciples means that someone hears and takes shelter and guidance from such a person. One who follows... How long have you been chanting? How many? Since January. Keep chanting. If you've been listening, you would understand. I mentioned there are one of the remedies given for the restless nature of the mind when chanting is constant chanting. And very carefully avoiding offenses. And with a very, very sincere heart, praying for the mercy of the spiritual master and great acharyas to steady our mind and free the mind from these thoughts that you're mentioning. That's called progress. Are you with me? You're beginning. This is advanced. Okay? Say it again. You haven't experienced the advanced stage yet, you're saying. Yeah. Krishna Das is about to fall over. You're tired? Want to take some rest? Don't knock him over when you fall over. Utsahan. Nishchayad Dhyayat, you know that verse? We discussed it this evening. With all confidence in the process of bhakti, including the chanting of the holy name, we need to be very, very enthusiastic, yet patient for the results. It will come if we follow properly. You're experiencing a beginner's experience. Bhaktivinoda Thakur is experiencing very elevated, advanced soul's experience. Is that all right? There's a difference between you and Bhaktivinoda Thakur. But he's, as Rupa Goswami, as I'm trying to repeat, he's repeating Rupa Goswami's teaching, follow these principles in that stage will be your attainment also. Hare Krishna. Yeah.
Guru, yesterday in the evening class you told that by having regard for advanced Vaishnavas we get a mercy of Krishna. So how do I respect, regard and worship that? There are differences in this case.
You have many how-to questions. He wants the how-to question is Yesterday I said that if one respects elevated Vaishnavas, one will get the mercy of Krishna. So how to? So, within Srimad Bhagavatam, within the first canto, you've studied the first canto? No. Within the first canto, there's repeated, very explicit and very wonderful instructions how to. It starts right in the first chapter where the sages are receiving Suta Goswami and they're respecting him, and how they respect him is explicit. They recognize it's following the, body, mind and words. With the words they're expressing their great appreciation and respect for Suta Goswami. They list his credential. And with their mind, they're contemplating, not just speaking something and they're empty-headed. They're contemplating inwardly with great the mood of appreciation and respect. And with their bodies, they're prepared to serve him. Another understanding is Tad Vidhi Pranipatena Pariprashnena Sevaya. You know that verse? 434 Bhagavad Gita. That tells us how to. Pranipat, Pariprash, and Seva. In the initial stages, we may not know the proper etiquette, how to
respect the Vaishnavas.
How to associate with Vaishnavas? Associate?
Respect.
Respect Vaishnavas.
What is the result of?
The result is we'll make some mistakes. But it's expected that a person that doesn't know will make some mistakes, isn't it? So that's not taken so seriously. But when one knows and one continues, then it's more serious. So better to stay ignorant, right? Ignorance is bliss. Better to know and to perform appropriately. So one of the things, I just didn't get to it. One of the things that I wanted to discuss, well, I touched on it, but the proper behavior of a preacher. But there, you know, the topic of Vaishnava etiquette is a very important item. There's extensive material on the subject. Maybe one of the devotees here would like to become familiar with that and make some presentation. When you go to Vrindavan, the VIAG has a whole month-long seminar on Vaishnava etiquette, summarized, you know, an outline and classes. And someone can make a presentation on Vaishnava etiquette. It's an ongoing thing, Vaishnava etiquette, because we're victims of Kali Yuga, regardless of our whatever, academic or birth or any other qualification. We're victims of Kali Yuga. So even we receive some instruction in etiquette, we're like crows and donkeys and monkeys, you know, we're not very elevated. by character. It takes repeated instruction in this regard. Fortunately, however, we have the holy name. Even we're disqualified in so many ways. Our primary attention and faith should go to the holy name. These other things are also very important. Essential, this shelter, the chanting of the Lord's holy name. Anyone else who's not spoken would like to? How about our group in the back there? Any questions back there? You can ask it in Telugu and he'll translate. Anything from the whole course we've given. Now's your chance. What are the 10 offenses against the chanting of the holy name? The dog was barking. Say it again. How to chant Hare Krishna Maha Mantra properly is without offense. So now, then the next question, well, what are the 10 offenses? Does she know what they are? She doesn't know. They're, do you recite them here in the morning? Come for Mangal Arati one morning, you'll hear them. Every morning in our temples, we recite the 10 offenses because it's such an important instruction. But I can review them very briefly. The first offense is to blaspheme or to sadhu ninda. Is that a common term? Making an offense at the feet of a Vaishnava. Criticize or vilify a devotee of the Lord. Another offense is to consider that the name of Krishna is equaled by the name of any devata. Another offense is to disregard the instructions of the spiritual master. Another offense is to consider that the glories of the chanting of the holy name are imagination. Or to minimize the authority of the scripture. Or to commit sin on the strength of chanting the holy name. If I know that the holy name will neutralize the reactions of sin, then I may go on sinning thinking it's okay, I'll just chant Hare Krishna. Everything will be neutralized. That is an offense. To maintain material attachments in spite of receiving so many instructions in this regard. The root of this is not having full faith in the holy name, and therefore I hold on to my material attachments. These are detailed in a number of places in Prabhupada's books. And it would be very helpful for you to read those sections in detail and try to understand what the instructions are in this regard. How about our ladies section over here? Anyone wants to raise some questions? You're all very contented and satisfied. Yeah. Remember, there's another question in the back. You can chant it in your sleep. But best to chant out loud. According to the acharya for the chanting of the holy name Haridas Thakur, he explains in Chaitanya Bhagavat that chanting out loud is even more beneficial for the chanter. And here's the reason why. When you chant out loud, other living entities also benefit. And Krishna is very pleased when you try to benefit other living entities spiritually. When we have kirtan, or it's just around the time the sun is setting, Gaura Aarti. And many mosquitoes come out. So they come to dance at Gaura Aarti too. They get spiritual benefit from hearing. All living entities, the trees, the little plants out here, the crows, caw, caw, they get benefit too. And that pleases Krishna. And in addition, it is easier to fix the mind when you chant audibly than when you just chant in the mind. By Vedic rule, Gayatri mantra is to be chanted silently. One time it is heard audibly, and that is when the mantra is given by the spiritual master, just otherwise, we chant within the mind, Gayatri Mantra. Therefore, this Maha Mantra is even more merciful. Okay. Got another question? Yeah.
Is there any wrong in chanting very fast?
Very fast? Fast? No? As Prabhupada's statement was, chanting swiftly is good. It helps to capture the mind. But not so swiftly that you can't hear every syllable. Sometimes we hear devotees chanting their japa and it sounds like a bumblebee. Flapping their wings. There's no distinct syllables, in other words. That's not so good. But some devotees also chant their japa, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Rama, Hare. Their mind is wandering all over the place. So if you do those two things, chant swiftly and hear every syllable, your mind is very concentrated. Sometime listen to Navayovana chanting his japa. He even speaks fast. What to speak of when he chants japa? Right? But he's very attentive. I was listening this morning. Well, yesterday morning. You were here early yesterday morning. He chants very clearly, but very fast. That's good. Okay? Okay. I think I'm going to... Oh, she's got another Mataji with a question. Good. We started it. Helps them. After chanting, she feels that her heart is
empty.
Empty. He's embarrassed.
He's not giving attachments for anybody after that.
No, shouldn't be like that. When from chanting, there should be mind fixed upon Krishna. And relationships, all living entities have a relationship with Krishna. If your mind is fixed on Krishna, then you have some feeling for Krishna, and all living entities are Krishna's parts and parcels. So there's natural feeling for all living entities. So I would say that she better be more attentive when she chants to bring her mind to Krishna. Śrīla Prabhupāda ki jai, Śrī Gaura-Nitāya ki jai, Śrī Jagannāth Baladeva Subhadra ki jai, Samvira Bhakta Vrinda ki jai, Jo Premanandi
ki jai, Śrīla Prabhupāda Swami Maharaj ki jai.